Well, Brent is gay, and Kaylin's gay, and Clark is gay, and Ryan's gay, and Adam's gay. It's Homo Superior.
Extra Issue, The Ultimate Universe. I'm Kaylin.
I'm Clark.
And I'm Brent Wingate. Welcome to another Extra Issue, where we recap, review, and reveal the nuances of the X-Men and the mutants in the 616. Wait a minute. We're talking about the new Ultimate Universe? How does that tie in with the 616 or the mutants? Well, listen, shit dick, you'll find out. So, Kaylin, for those of us who are me and don't know, what is the Ultimates universe? Could you give us like background on any of this?
Am I the shit dick in this situation? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
All right, great.
Also, to be clear, none of this is like spoilers for what we're going to be talking about. This is all like original stuff, right?
Yes.
Is shit dick like a dick with shit on it, or a dick that's like a mean jerk?
Yes, both.
I think probably the latter.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of shit dicks, the original Ultimate Universe, or Earth 1610, if you prefer, was created back in the year 2000 with the intent of giving new readers the opportunity to get in on the ground floor with Marvel characters who'd exist for decades, like Spider-Man and the X-Men. It was so successful for a while that its big team book, The Ultimates, helped create the template for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but there were diminishing returns, and eventually the universe and imprint folded, and only a couple of remnants remained.
Because they let Jeff Loeb do anything with it. He ruined it.
There's that, as well as other writers. So the ones that remained were Miles Morales, who is the Spider-Man that initially replaced Peter Parker. We know him as the main character from Across the Spider-Verse and Into the Spider-Verse. And the Maker, who is an evil Reed Richards.
And then all of the friends and family of Miles.
Yeah, but the two main, like, protagonists, antagonists are the ones
and
that...
And Bombshell, weird characters that were, like, minor friends of his.
Yeah. So fast forward to 2023, there's a brand new Ultimate Universe. It's created by Jonathan Hickman, one of our favorite writers, and it has more in common thematically with the Age of Apocalypse, than it does the original Ultimate Universe. How so? Well, you're just going to have to listen. So Homo Superior has decided that we're going to start reviewing the Ultimate books on our regular podcast, starting with this week's Ultimate X-Men.
This week being March 6th is when the first one comes out.
That is correct. But before we do that, we're going to review the comics that have started to establish this universe. So we've got Ultimate Invasion 1 through 4, the Ultimate Universe one-shot, the first two issues of Ultimate Spider-Man, and the first issue of Ultimate Black Panther. All these books have already come out, so I'm going to do a quick synopsis for these, and then we'll have a little discussion.
Okay, but this is Spoiler City.
This is Spoiler City,
okay,
baby.
So if you haven't read any of these, go to your local Kindle and pick up a copy.
Yeah, exactly. All right, first up, Ultimate Invasion and Universe. So writer is Jonathan Hickman, as I mentioned before. The artist for Ultimate Invasion is Brian Hitch, and the artist for Ultimate Universe is Stefano Caselli. So the Maker, who's been in prison on Earth 616, that's the main Marvel Earth, escapes and heads to Earth 6160 and proceeds through timey-wimey shenanigans to remove its most prominent heroes moments before their secret origins. For example, Peter Parker never gets bitten by the radioactive spider, Fantastic Four never gains superpowers, etc., etc. This allows...
Wolverine never hits puberty.
Exactly. This allows the Maker to create a global ruling council made up of 8 nation states under his leadership. He convinces the Iron Man of this universe, and that's Howard Stark, that's Tony's dad, to create a time machine that allowed him to remake the world in the first place. Like we said, very timey-wimey. And speaking of which, the Maker's main adversary is Kang, who's wearing very much an Iron Man-esque armor, as we see, and he's hanging out in the far future. Shit happens, stuff blows up, the Maker gets trapped in his headquarters, Howard Stark seemingly dies, and his son Tony Stark, aka Iron Lad, sets on a journey to make sure that his world gets its heroes back. So... I'm going to set up a few questions for our discussion.
Yes.
Lot of plot points that I just didn't even talk about because a lot of shit happened in this book. Brent, how did this opening story work for you?
I started reading it when it was just coming out, and it felt like a chaotic mess, but at least that it was somewhat interesting. And I think that upon rereading it, it feels like it was rushing to get somewhere regulars rushing to start up the Ultimates universe so that you aren't wasting your time with like a lot of preamble of the Makers. He's getting some metal and then he's like screwing in bolts and everyone's wondering what's he up to? Why can't we stop him? I think that kind of in reviewing the kind of beginning of this, for me, the thing that's so stark is comparing it to the end of the Krakoan era, in that you have this rushed feel, but rushed beginnings, I think, work a lot better because it feels like that means there's a direction this wants to go, as opposed to we don't know where we're going with this if you do it at the end.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Clark, what did you think of it?
The invasion of it?
Yeah.
I did not like it at all. It was.
What did you not like?
It was.
List your top 15 least favorite things.
I mean, I wasn't interested in a period. I didn't really think we needed an Ultimate Universe in general. And the fact that it wasn't a continuation felt weird. Like, it's the Ultimate Universe, but it's just something totally different.
Yeah.
And, like, in name only. I don't care about timey-wimey shit anymore, unless it's actually Doctor Who.
Sorry, but I did not think it was, like, in name only. I did not realize when I first read it how important Miles and the Maker's origin was to that Ultimate Universe. So in the first issue, having the Maker have that conversation with Miles makes it feel like, hey, this is us reclaiming our universe.
And making up a random universe that has nothing to do with us.
We're making one because something was taken from us, we will take, even though that Miles refuses, but the Maker is... Yeah, if you take my universe, I'm going to make one in my image.
The thing about the Maker I like so much as a character in like Hickman, really, it's very evocative of his protagonists and antagonists, like these sort of people who believe in a very planned society. Like, I am smarter than the average citizen. I know what's best. And the Maker goes off and he creates creates a universe where heroes can't get in the way.
Yeah.
For the order he believes needs to happen. What I, you know, reading the first time, I was also like, this feels like very like Hickman light, you know, like I've seen this before. It's fine. Rereading it, I was like, oh, I'm much more invested. And I think it's because of the nation states that are set up.
Yeah. You love geopolitics.
Mm-hmm. I fucking love the geopolitics of it all. And like, what I loved about it the most that I didn't quite pick up on was when Robert DaCosta's father, Sunspot's father, mm-hmm. essentially is the head of like the South American nation state. Yeah. He basically says to Howard Stark, there are no enemies in this room.
Yeah.
We all take the role of the adversary because and it's the Maker that says this. It's like or the Hulk, I think, says this. Maybe peace is not, you know, sustainable. Like, humanity gets bored.
Yeah.
It needs an enemy.
It's very 1984. Oceania has always been at war with
right.
East Asia, whatever. And wait, what's something else you didn't like about it, Clark? I want to, because I'm curious. I enjoyed it a lot. So anything you dislike is fuel for me.
The only thing I liked about it at this point was the nation state stuff.
Oh, I said more dislikes. I want more dislikes.
Everything.
Everything else.
I didn't
yeah.
like the final battle between whoever's and the whatever's and the different versions of this and that and Kang's army of blah, blah, blah. It just seemed really boring.
I will
the
say
characters that we've seen millions of times before.
The Kang of it all, and just like, all right, it's got to be Kang in an Iron Man costume, just feels like an unnecessary mashup. But I love that there was like a genetic melting down of a bunch of temporally placed people.
I just want to see 3,000 different Janets in like weird yellow jacket costumes or whatever they are running around.
It felt very much like what Kurt Busiek did on Avengers Forever. So that part didn't really work for me. But going back to the nation state stuff.
Maybe I liked Avengers Forever so much that this felt like a...
lamer
version.
I think that's what I was getting at least. But the nation state stuff, was there a certain one that you really were attracted to, or you really want to like learn more about?
I like the fact that Captain Britain is French and he's Jamie Braddock and he's just complete monster asshole.
Yeah,
I think that's my number one right now.
Yeah,
there was a surprising number, I think, of mutants. Is it? Do we think that like the maker's solution for mutants because they just crop up is rather than do some mist or Terrigen mist or whatever that he just puts them in positions of power where he can control them?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, and I think that's I'm hoping that Ultimate X-Men will delve into that when we get it this week.
Like, cleaned up diplomat Omega Red can get it. Use those whips.
You were attracted to Omega Red?
He just seemed like he had his shit together. Like, he wasn't some cracked out junkie.
Yeah.
Who's just like, I need to take in your energy. You're like, chill, girl. Now he's like put together. He like goes to the opera occasionally, even though he doesn't speak another language.
Yeah.
He's still trash in this universe, but.
I will say one thing I didn't like about this is I'm always a little frustrated that all roads lead to Captain America being like a savior type. Mm-hmm. As much as I love the character of Captain America, you find out that like the Maker tries to find, you know, a frozen Steve Rogers. He isn't there. Ultimately, you find that Iron Lad and Reed Richards in the Doctor Doom outfit, mm-hmm. they find Captain America and he's ostensibly going to join the Ultimates.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, it feels a little lazy, but I reading Ultimate Universe or Ultimate Invasion was fine. It wasn't until I read Ultimate Universe, the one shot, that I was like, oh, this is really good.
Well, let's get into that.
Yeah. So in that, basically it's, you find that Iron Lad and, Dr. Doom / Reed Richards, they break Thor out. Sif joins the team because she is there to basically protect her quote unquote prisoner. Mm-hmm. And you find out that, basically the Maker, while he's trapped in the city, which is a very Jonathan Hickman thing as mm-hmm. well. The rest of the nation states, the rest of like the oligarchy, they, basically said, we're going to divvy up North America. Which is super interesting, and they're going to destroy a portion of New York 9/11 style and blame it on Tony Stark. I think that is where the story got really interesting for me, and it made me appreciate all the stuff from Ultimate Invasion a lot more.
How quickly, when the cat's away, do the mice play? They went fast from, we got to organize society to keep peace, to the Maker's gone. Let's partition North America. They went very colonial Europe quick.
No, they're all a bunch of murdering, like colonizing bastards. That's the reason why.
But like, I guess, I mean, maybe this makes the case that all of us are just complete savages at every level of society, and that we want violence, and there's none among us who are good and would try and fight for justice and truth.
Well, there's a few of us.
Yeah, there's a few, but like in this world, everyone just wants to get what they can.
Yeah.
So is the Hulk in charge of like Southeast Asia?
I think so.
Is that strange?
A little bit.
don't quite know the connection there.
Well, it's the very like kind of Tibetan monk feel to it.
It's also, and he also has Australia. He's got quite a range.
Well, you know, in Risk, you start with like Australia and you build.
Best way to go about doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I also really like the.
I always started with Greenland.
No, that gets attacked from all sides. Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why I keep losing.
I really like the Yoshida alliance? Like, it was like Sunfire with the Viper speaking for him and like Silver Samurai there. I think that was a really cool nation state.
Yeah.
Anything else on Ultimate Universe, the one shot?
I don't think there's anything in particular. I think it's interesting. How many, because you mentioned like attacking New York, like, you know what, never mind, I got nothing, let's move on.
One last thing though, Kang is totally Iron Lad, right? That is totally like Tony Stark all grown
that's
up.
That's another problem
future.
With this is that for Ultimate Invasion, it was just the same characters you see all the goddamn time, except for the nation state characters. It was like, I don't need to see these 12 characters again and again and again and again constantly.
Here's another reason why I think, I don't know if this is true for you, but I was a little whatever about Ultimate Invasion. Having Brian Hitch draw it, because he was so linked to the original mm-hmm. Ultimate Universe. Being the artist for the Ultimates, he's the one who drew Nick Fury like Samuel Jackson mm-hmm. for the first time. And his art has, I think, in my opinion, he's still talented. It's just kind of gone downhill for me. It was just too familiar.
Coloring was muted, too. I didn't like that.
It didn't pop at all. Again, Stefano Casali, when he drew Ultimate Universe, looked fucking great. All right, so let's move on to the actual books themselves. So we had the first two issues of Ultimate Spider-Man come out. Writers Jonathan Hickman again, and the artist Marco Cicchetto. A 30-something daddy, Peter Parker, knows that something is missing in his life. He's got a gorgeous wife, two beautiful kids, a cool job, and a great beard.
Give Peter a beard. God damn it.
He looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
But he needs great power and even greater responsibility. A hologram of Iron Lad offers Peter the spider who should have bitten him as a teenager and a slick black ninja suit. Spider-Man is born, and Peter manages to keep his identity a secret for 2 whole minutes before his daughter finds out. A lot of stuff happens, but, you know, we've seen the Spider-Man backstory a million times. Clark, how did moving, like, the origin, like, basically back 20 years, like, he didn't get bitten as a teenager, but as an adult, how does that work for you?
I mean, as an adult who's suddenly incapable, it's a lot more enjoyable than, like, a fucking teenager you've seen a million times just, like, stumbling and bumbling.
Yeah, I think the family aspect of it is great.
That's true.
And a lot of fans like myself always wanted to see Peter and Mary Jane remain married, but like Marvel editorial has not allowed mm-hmm. that for a long time.
There is something different as I get older about seeing, you know, oh, you're a young person and you get powers and you're like, I feel strength and stuff mm-hmm. versus like someone who's 33 who's like, yeah, my back kind of hurts, but now I'm indestructible. And you're like, yes, I feel that. That resonates with me.
Because you're 33.
Get me, Shocker.
Yeah.
God.
All right, so...
Wait, can we talk about the Shocker a little bit?
Yeah, talk about the Shocker.
Okay, so...
He's a little piece of shit.
fantastic comedy writing. Peter tries to approach the Shocker and stop him. The Shocker's like, you know what? You convinced me. I'm done with crime. Thank you for helping me see the error of my ways. Peter, because he's not in a world with, like, superheroes, he's not living in a world where people are like saving the day, and he's not a hero, just reaches to shake his hand and gets cold cocked with mm-hmm. hundreds of thousands of volts of electricity.
Yeah.
Idiot Peter Parker does it again a second time when he says, it's for my wife. She's sick. No, of course. He doesn't have a wife. She's not sick. You live in a fake universe, you idiot. Stop reaching for the guy with electrocuting hands.
I love that so much. All right. So, Spider-Man's traditional origin, Brent, is, you know, it's tragic, right? With Uncle Ben dying and all. Do you think this new origin needs that? And we dealt with that a little bit in Across the Spider-Verse.
We already have it. Aunt May's dead.
Because she died in the attack on New York.
Yeah, that's it.
I think that the way that they've set up J. Jonah Jameson and
Uncle Ben
as this, like, C-plot or B-plot, whatever, for this story... creates the possibility for one of them or both of them to be killed in some way as a part of it. And I don't want it to do that.
Those two are too good together. I know, they're
it's Statler and Waldorf. Yeah. It's great.
They're the two angry men to a T. I love them together. Just let them like be a couple or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, and then in the steam room, I was like, make out.
Kiss.
You old horny bastards.
But then there's also the fact that they're like really trying to make sure that stuff is grounded and established with his family. So I think if they play it right, they won't have some it's got to be tragic origin story, but that like, yeah, part of being a hero is sacrifices and this world isn't real and isn't mine, so I've got to give up my family at the very end. If you try and fucking shoehorn tragedy into the middle of this, I'm going to kill you, Jonathan Hickman.
Yeah.
That's a promise.
I don't think Hickman's too good a writer. I don't think he's going to refrigerate Mary Jane.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think it would be cruel as hell to sacrifice one of the kids.
Yes.
And I really do hope Uncle Ben and J. Jonah Jameson stay alive.
Live in P-Town. Go,
yes.
Go enjoy yourselves.
One of them turns into Truman Capote, and the other one turns into...
Truman Capote 2.
Yeah, there you
Tumen
go.
Capote.
Tumen Capote. Two are better than one. And I also want to see like what journalistic endeavor they get on with the Daily Bugle being taken over by the Kingpin. And the Kingpin, he's the villain in this.
Yeah, the moment we saw... Oh, sorry, that's not the same thing. But the moment we saw May, like young, his daughter May, find out, I was like, oh, fuck, that's the worst person who could ever know. Children don't have a filter.
Yeah.
This child has to be like a really, she's going to be an incorrectly well-written, normal child who won't say a goddamn thing. I don't know.
Except that she drew a spider
and
left it on the fridge.
Yeah, this kid's a mess. Like I was talking yesterday with my parents and my aunt, with my niece is 5 years old, so probably about the same age as this kid. And they were talking to the teacher one day. She's like, you guys don't have any secrets because my niece tells her everything about all of us all the time.
I love
Peter's
that.
Fuck.
I love that. Like Mary, like I love the idea of like a superhero's partner, their spouse, like knows about there. And they're like, they're not like, oh my God, I'm worried about you. They're more like, all right, let me help you get better.
Yeah.
I'm clearly smarter than you. I will make you be a better hero. So I really do like that. Any guesses on who the Green Goblin is?
Oh, Iron Lad.
They haven't brought any characters into the story yet that could be possibilities.
Didn't they kill off one of the... Harry Osborn, they killed him off, yeah. Right? In off-screen on the Attack on New York?
Norman Osborn was killed. I don't know if Harry Osborn was.
Norman was killed. Yeah. Okay.
There were several Osborns killed, Norman being one of them.
Okay.
I would like it to be, and they haven't mentioned him, but I want it to be J. Jonah Jameson's son, John Jameson, who was Man-Wolf in our universe, just so we can have, like, the father figures and the sons as, like, duos or whatever.
I like it, and I also like that he's kind of more of a vigilante than an actual villain right now, because there's a little bit of a gang war kind of sitch happening between him and Kingpin. Any other traditional Spider-Man villains you want to see adapted in this universe?
Give me them all. Honestly, I like to. I mean, the way I saw Shocker, give me a vulture. Give me a rhino.
Want a rhino that's literally just a rhino and he does nothing special. It's just a jerk asshole rhino that
just
comes
at the zoo, just hanging out. Yeah.
I am confused a little bit about how the Maker views world creation, if he's going to stop all the heroes from getting powers. But, like, surely there are villains that would be a threat to you if they got powers.
No, they're all too busy being self-serving and stealing shit. Heroes actually do good and get in the way.
But, I mean, sometimes villains get along. Sometimes, right? Mm. Legion of Doom? Those guys worked well together.
Sure, yeah. They were a union, basically. All right.
I got to talk to my shop steward before I can invade this bank.
Yeah. I've got the Serpent Society. They do a good job. They get attacked and murdered. I mean, beaten up all the time. But
they stick on theme.
Yeah.
They're always about snakes and snake-related things.
That's true. They really are. They got all their outfits at Party City.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a sale on snakes. All right, let's move on to Ultimate Black Panther number one. The writer is Brian Hill. It is the first of the Ultimate books not written by Jonathan Hickman. And the artist is Stefano Casali, who drew Ultimate Universe. So the majority of Africa is brutally ruled by Ra and Khonshu, a.k.a. Moon Knight, who are part of Maker's ruling council. Wakanda, a kingdom hidden from the rest of the world, is the last best hope to free the continent from its aggressors. And that's exactly what happens. King T'Challa declares war on Moon Knight after one of their agents assassinates his father, King T'Chaka. Oh, and King Killmonger and Adam's own favorite Storm are out there fucking up shit, freeing the people enslaved by Ra and Khonshu, looking very, very, very cool. All right, so, Brent, this world, Wakanda, has a witchy priestess crew called the Vodukan. The movie Dune just came out this past weekend. Were you getting kind of a Bene Gesserit vibe from them? Yeah. Kind of like these, like, high priestess, sorceress, witchy...
So I can get behind a group of, like, mysterious, witchy people who the rulership has to court. And this one, it wasn't clear what they were courting for or what the stakes were around it. So it just seemed like, oh, yeah, we have to talk to the old hags for a second. They give us like mysterious information. It didn't seem like it was like, I don't know what's being traded here.
Yeah.
Kind of interaction. But yeah, Bene Gesserit, like put your hand in my box kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll put my hand in his box. Sure. All right. So, Clark, with the exception of Moon Knight as the bad guys, this is a very familiar origin for Black Panther thus far, with a few little changes like, what's her face being T'Challa's wife from the...
Shuri.
Not Shuri, you dumb
That
fuck.
Would be horrible, and I want it.
Horrid. We're not doing incest
I'm sorry,
in this universe.
It's
Okoye.
The other Ultimate Universe, not this one.
Yes, Wakanda is like, what if European values were instilled in Wakanda?
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
You have to marry your cousins.
It's a Okoye, actually. But the rest of it's pretty familiar. What changes do you think you'd like to see?
Since Ra and Khonshu / Moon Knight, whatever, are so important to this, I want Sekhmet and Bastet to be much more important. Those are his daughters.
Yeah.
Ra's daughters, who are like the ones who are kind of the cat people for that gave the powers to Black Panther in the first place. I would just like them. I want some family dynamic between the four of them.
Oh, that would be really cool.
Khonshu's their sibling in this version, and real Egyptian mythology is not the case. But I don't know. I just want that. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
How many issues is this going to be?
It's ongoing for right now. Okay. There is no limit to it.
Because like,
limit does not exist.
If you could plumb the depths of every relationship like this, that'd be so much fun.
Yeah. This was a very strong first issue for me. Again, I love like real politics. I love nation building, that kind of stuff. The Black Panther series I have said before on podcast many times that I love is the one by Christopher Priest in the late 90s, early aughts. And it dealt with Wakanda as like a very powerful nation state in the Marvel universe. And this like sort of like Wakanda being a very powerful but hidden kingdom, while the rest of the continent is being run by these like very brutal dictators, I think is a fascinating dynamic. I really, really enjoy that.
There's an extra layer to it, which I kind of like, that in so many universes, the Reed Richards and the T'Challas have gotten along, had arguments, whatever. They've got complicated histories.
Right.
But that the Maker was not able to undo Wakanda. That there is something that kind of exists. There's some eternal fight that goes on between those two entities I like.
Yeah, I like that very much as well. The one thing I don't love, I mostly love T'Challa's costume. I think having the open face is a little weird to me. I like Black Panther having his whole face covered.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And also, I will say I'm really glad Storm is in this book because that scene was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It was very, very cool.
And we're not going to get them fucking because he's married.
We'll see.
We are not going to see them fucking. I'm telling.
Hey, Clark. People
Brian
have
Hill
affairs.
Directly.
People
I don't want
have
it.
Affairs.
I don't want it. I don't want it, Brian.
I like Storm and Killmonger being a couple. I think that's actually a really interesting idea. And I like. I am curious to see how they are going to be, maybe chaotically good or chaotically neutral, compared to like kind of Wakanda being lawfully good.
Yeah.
So I like that idea of them being kind of freedom fighters. All right. So coming up this week, we've got Ultimate X-Men by Peach Momoko. And then this summer, it's going to be The Ultimates, which is the big team book by Dennis Camp and Juan Frigeri. So here's what we know. Ultimate X-Men is set in Japan, features armor, a new character named Maystorm, and a bunch of new X-Men, the likes of which we've never seen, according to the solicitation. So Ultimates is going to feature the team that Iron Lad assembled in Ultimate Universe, including Reed Richards and Doctor Doom cosplay, Thor, and Sif. And we can assume that they're going to thaw out a frozen Captain America and Giant Man and Wasp are on the team. So I will say Dennis got some flack online because this team is incredibly cishet and incredibly white.
The three characters we've seen.
Correct. But all the ones on the cover are all there's no people of color, with the exception Wasp could be half Asian like she was in the original Ultimate Universe. But no confirmation on that. Dennis said, I hear your complaints. I hear your criticism. I'm asking you to give me a chance and read, because this is not the team that you will see ultimately. No pun intended.
I think we need to chill sometimes. And I know people get very excited because they care about this and they've got very good reasons to worry about being betrayed by fake promo type stuff. Just give the guy a chance. I'm glad he had that response rather than the super defensive
Bo DeMeo type response.
You don't know what's going on here, and you don't know what you're talking about, and I'm doing a great job.
Yeah.
I do believe, you know, maybe wait. Don't judge a book by its cover, but then you can judge it after you've read it by the cover.
Yeah. But all we have right now is the cover.
Yeah.
So, and it's not coming out till June, so we have plenty of months for, you
rewrites.
Know, internet fervor, I was going to say, but also rewrites. But we put out a Polaris on Twitter. We're going to start reviewing the Marvel Ultimate line soon. And just as I said at the very beginning of this podcast, which books are you most excited for? / looking forward to, knowing that two of the books are already out, two of the books are coming up.
I don't even want to go through this poll, Caitlin. I don't want to go through this poll because this poll is just entirely our fans. What did you ask them? What did you offer as options?
The four books that we know.
So Ultimate X-Men, Ultimate Black Panther, Ultimate Spider-Man, and Ultimates.
Yeah.
Generic.
Yeah.
Which do you think they chose? X-Men, which do they choose second most? The X-Men adjacent queer fucking spider guy. Spider-Man. Come
what?
On.
How is he adjacent?
He is. He's one of us. He's one of us.
Just because you like that beard doesn't make him
one of us. No. Spider-Man is an ally through and through. And if in any universe, we would consider him one of our people. Of course, our fans picked him. Of course, they picked the X-Men and Spider-Man. I can't be the only one who thinks this is a useless poll. I love it. They're right.
Wow. Unweight the polls or unskew the polls, is like they used to say back in the day.
No, but, ride the polls is what I say.
Amazing. Ride that lightning. But yes, Brent is right. Ultimate X-Men was number one. Number two is Ultimate Spider-Man. And then in third and fourth place, very far back, were Ultimate Black Panther. And Ultimates, you know, Ultimate Black Panther is the one that has surprised me the most, that I think I'm going to love the most.
Okay.
I think it's going to be very good.
We've only read two of them.
Only one of Ultimate Black Panther, but loved it.
I meant of the four.
Yeah. I think I'm going to love it the most, and I think Ultimates is going to be very, very good, just based on Dennis Camp's talent, and I think I love 20th Century Men. He said, like, if you love that book, you're really going to love my Ultimates. So.
I just want to look at Peach Momoko's. The panels we've seen are gorgeous.
They're gorgeous, and I'm excited that it's a different take on the X-Men, and it's not going to be the very kind of run-of-the-mill, boring, potentially boring ones that we might see in the 616. But I'm also, I'm not sure of her as a storyteller yet. Demon Days was kind of hit or miss for me.
I'm worried that it's going to be so many new characters that it's not going to feel like Ultimate, in the fact that, like, the reason we love these universes is because you're seeing alternate versions of characters. If you just see, like, eight new characters you don't fucking know, it just doesn't hit you.
I agree. I am interested in the dynamic of, like, well, Armor is a character that we have seen before in the main universe, so she will be the POV or the main character.
Yes.
I'm interested in the dynamic, because if it's set in Japan, that they will deal with, like, Sunfire and Viper and Silver Samurai as antagonists. And kind of going back to the point that you made, Brent, mutants may not be, quote-unquote, underclass or marginalized society in this universe, but there could be an interesting dynamic between those who are in, like, the upper class and those who are not.
Yeah.
I think there's an interesting dynamic that could be explored there. But last few questions before we close out. What are we hoping for / not hoping for in all of these series, or the two series that we haven't come out yet, but in any of the series, really?
Is there anything you're hoping for, Clark?
No.
The only thing I'm hoping for is Glob Herman. So if he's not there, then this whole thing is bullshit and a waste of time.
You heard it first and last. Clark, anything from you?
I just want to see alternate versions of people.
Okay.
That are very different,
all right,
but aren't sleeping with their siblings.
In this universe, he already
eating people.
There's that.
In this universe, the character is already Wrong Slide, and when he went through the gates, he became Rock Slide.
I like that very much. All right, so I think limiting the line to the four books is a good start for this new universe, but if you could, what additional series would you like to see?
I think that there are no series that I would like. There's nothing I don't want them to recreate. Contra to Clark, I like it when there's new characters, new storylines that can possibly, like, return or be developed in some way in the 616. I don't want them to, like, we redid the Avengers or we put together Defenders or something like that. Like, come up with some different team that is motivated by the circumstances they're in this universe.
Okay.
Like a spy organization that has to deal with the conflicts between all of these different geopolitical forces or something.
Ultimate Shield. Got it. All right. How about you, Clark?
All right. hey, watch it.
Yeah.
Wise guy.
Yeah.
I think it's all too new. I was thinking of, like, Thunderbolts. No, because we don't have any villains, or the villains are the ones in charge of the entire planet. I don't know at this moment. Fantastic Four, we're clearly seeing a different version of Reed. I don't know what we're going to see with the other three.
Well, they never got their power, so what would they be doing?
They went to space and had a wonderful time.
Yeah, exactly. That would be interesting just to check in on like what Ben Grimm and Johnny Storm and
just four normal people just hanging out. That's the entire book.
Well, one of them is in a Dr. Doom mask. So
yeah. But they're just hanging out with a guy in a mask. That's it. That's different.
Yes. That's just like, that's a Saturday
night
for me.
What's one you want?
I think, well, we got to see Matt Murdock very briefly in Ultimate Spider-Man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like he was, in his priest garb, like giving a speech at the memorial in New York. I think finding a way to do an Ultimate Daredevil with him as the, you know, truly as like a man of God, because the Catholicism is such a big part of Matt Murdock's backstory, I think could be really interesting.
Ultimate Kingpin. It's Kingpin, but he's making more money. No,
just saying Vanessa over and over. Vanessa.
Ultimate Vanessa.
Yeah. All right. Well. That's been our issue. Look for reviews of Ultimate X-Men, Spider-Man, Black Panther, and the Ultimates on our regular issues. Don't forget to rate and review us on all your podcast app. It's super quick and easy, just like us. And if you have a chance, recommend us to a friend or an enemy.
Yeah.
You can find us on Twitter at Homo Superior X and Instagram at Homo Superior Podcast. Bye, little homos.
I will say, I mean, I know you just said goodbye, but if you're listening to this, you're one of our Ultimates. Bye, little homos.
I hate you so much.